stopped paying attention in class. I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sending kids to Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Store computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to the Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Horror Show. Show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Boy, we have a lot to unpack here. I'm really excited to talk about this movie.
it's interesting.
It's a fucking nightmare, is what it is. It's a legitimate fucking nightmare. And I'm glad we're talking about it just with all, there's a lot of Halloween talk. And, you know, I watched parts 4 and 5 in anticipation of part 6.
I did as well.
And, well, I watched them before our Orlando show, because I actually watched them on the Orlando show.
Okay.
On our travels.
So I actually watched all 6 this week.
Oh my God, what fucking... At what point were you like, this is a terrible idea? Oh, you like 4 though, right?
I like all of them.
Okay, fair enough.
Except for this one.
This one is really, it's not great. It's really not great.
Listen, I actually, all jokes aside, I like this one better than part 5.
You know what?
Well, this you know what this one doesn't have?
What?
Michael Myers fucking crying. Are you kidding me? Dude, I've watched 5 about 100 times in my life, and I feel like my brain blocks off that part because every time I see it, it's like a brand new revelation. Holy shit, this guy's fucking crying. Are you kidding me?
He's also psychic. And he floats down a creek at the beginning, which fucking cracks me up beyond belief. Like, that is just like one of the most insane things I ever read. Walks to a creek, then falls in it, and then just gets drifted away. It's so fucking ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. But I agree with you. I think, and this one, as stupid as it is, and it's very stupid, it's at least, it goes by really fast.
It does. It's weird though, because it feels almost like it's like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, Paul Rudd is like the most, I don't know, what is melodramatic the right word? What does melodramatic mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. Dude, I honestly, so this came out in 1995. Mm-hmm. So did Clueless, both starring Paul Rudd. And I guarantee he had like more faith in this making him like a well-known name than he did with Clueless.
Dude, I completely agree. He was not phoning his acting in, but it also made it really hard to watch because everyone else appeared to be like, fuck this movie.
Donald Pleasance was literally dying. like he should not, I mean, that's not even a joke. He's literally dying. He should not have been on set. So it's just like painful to watch. And then there's Paul Rudd, who's just giving it his like best go.
He's giving it 1,000% of his all. He's just out there and he's just, I mean, it was hard to watch. It was really hard to watch. Like the voices he was doing for this character were all over the place. It was weird. It was all very weird. So this was made in 95 too, which is 6 years 95. After the fifth one.
Yeah. And I remember, the movie posters for this.
Oh, you do?
I know that's useless to share, but, yeah.
No, that's cool. That's fucking fascinating. I don't remember it at all. Cause I was thinking, I was like, oh fuck. I was alive for these commercials, like watching television for these commercials, but I don't remember
I remember distinctly. This is directly calling out some of our fans. I'm not going to name them, but but they know damn well who they are now. With the new Halloween coming out, I saw a lot of people listing like their order of favorites. Yeah. And I saw multiple people have this in the top three of the series.
That's funny.
Which is, honestly, you need to fucking see someone.
That's fucking crazy to me. Because, I mean, one and two. One and two. And that leaves... Well, I saw lists where two was way down, which...
Me too. And that's honestly bullshit.
I can't even figure out the math behind that one. Because
I saw lists where number two was like second to last. And that included the Rob Zombie movie.
Which, I don't know. Two is... I don't understand. Two is fun. I don't even understand the problem.
Love to. I can't think of a single thing that somebody can say poorly about it that they can't say about the fucking six that follow it.
Right, right. And you know what's actually funny is that kind of brings me to the new one, too, because I can't think of... It's a similar thing where people are hailing this new one, which I have no problem with. It was fine. I never recorded a bonus, but it was fine. Like, it was whatever. But really, all the tropes you see in six that you roll your eyes at were in the new one.
That's exactly right. And I was actually saying it today. The new one is one of those movies where it's just infuriating because people who are claiming it's the best in the series should be fucking put out the pasture. And likewise, so should people saying it's the worst one of the series. Because it's not.
Right.
It's just fine.
It's fine. And it's just like every other one they've ever released after two, which is like not that great, but like whatever. Like,
yeah, they're all passable.
You know what? Halloween might have some of the worst. Well, no, Nightmare on Elm Street, we kind of realized was pretty bad too. But like, I don't know, man. The Michael Myers formula was so simple, and they just fucked it up completely. Every movie after every movie, they just
especially this one. This one changes the entire universe of Michael Myers. It's incredible.
Yes. And like, why did they change his masks often? Like,
I said the same thing to Tina, and I'm pretty sure again, there's like something wrong with my brain when it comes to Halloween, because I watch these every year, and every time it's like a whole new experience for me. We're like, it's like 50 first dates where it's like, oh, this happened. It's like, but every year I'm like, why do they do this to us? Why is it so hard to just not keep the same fucking mask?
Like, just get the same fucking mask. That's all you have to do. I even read in the notes, they were like, oh yeah, somebody handcrafted the mask for this actor. Yeah,
stop doing that.
Stop. Yeah. There's a like his mask mate. Like, this one has like the biggest head of hair I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
There's so much fucking hair. It's all over the place. It's a fucking disaster. So everyone should know part one and part two and part three, of course. Part four, Michael's comatose, and being transferred to a hospital. This might sound familiar if you've seen the new one, where he wakes up, and an ambulance crew tees him off to, that he has a surviving niece played by Daniel Harris. He kills all of them and then goes after the family, right?
Yes.
Then in five, he floats down a creek from the end of part four and then meets a homeless guy and then falls into another coma where he's awakened by, I guess Jamie wakes him up when she, cause she's in a mental institution. She can't talk anymore, but she has psychic abilities to talk with Michael and, yes. And feel him. And that's that, man. And,
she calls him like Uncle Mike.
Yes.
Which causes him to cry. God, I hate that so much.
Uncle Mike. Fucking insane. She's never met the man. Imagine, like, meeting a stranger and... Well, I'm not even going to get into it.
Yeah, it's the whole do your thing, cuz. Again.
Yeah, yes.
That might actually be a trope now. It's fucking ridiculous.
This movie, tons of issues with the filming. No one was happy. The director and producer were just changing shit on the fly.
Part six.
They did a ton of editing and a ton of reshoots. a ton of reshoots on this, and but then by that point, Pleasance had died, so they like kind of just it was kind of just a mess that they like just chopped together. To be honest, though, it moved quick, and I didn't mind some of the kills. I mean, as a movie, it's not great, but I don't know. It's a fun
kind of what you were saying before. Like, some of the sequels are a mess, but when you look at the whole franchise. Like, Michael never went to space. Michael, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
There was no Michael's dead with, like, he never played a character in a video game. Like, it's honestly probably the most solid series you could talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right.
It's not without its faults, but it's not, it never really,
right.
Really went bonkers.
I mean, The Curse of the Throne, which is a big part of this.
This is as close as it will get to going off the rails.
That's as close as it gets, and it is fucking ridiculous. I mean,
because like
it's so unnecessary.
There's a cult. There's like a druid cult, but like why? This just been happening for 20 fucking years. Like why is this just being known to like family members and the police? And
oh stuff? Well, I don't know. Maybe because people in this town didn't even know Michael Myers lived there. Throughout the course of the movie, people learn that somebody is living in Michael's house, and people are like, wait, what? It's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. Like, constantly, this movie, people are like, wait, this is Michael Myers' house? Including the people that live inside of it. Oh, man, it's great. It's great. So, you got...
Except, dude, from part four on, there's always... Like, why are they selling those Michael Myers masks to kids?
Oh, yeah.
For Halloween. Because there's always kids wearing the masks.
Yes.
And the police always pull the guns on them. And the kid's like, what are you, an asshole?
And also, well, in this one, Halloween's been canceled for what they claim 20 years. But, I mean, that doesn't make sense. But, so Halloween's been canceled in this movie. But then it also still happens. So I'm not sure. There's a lot of issues, like you can tell with the editing. Like, they definitely changed some shit on the fly and just didn't do it. This was directed by Joe Ciappelli, who did, you might know him from Hellraiser 4, Bloodline.
Well, that guy.
And also, he did Phantoms with Ben Affleck.
Oh, Billy Zane?
Yeah, yeah. Billy Zane, Ben Affleck. He did that flick, and then his career ended.
Shocker.
Go figure. Also, Five ends with, we should note, Five ends, besides with Michael crying, he gets defeated by a piece of wood, and Donald Pleasance beats him to death with a fucking plank, and arrests him, and Loomis... After doing this so many times, says he'll remain in maximum security until the day he dies, which of course does not happen, and he escapes again. So, anyway, so this movie starts out with a little more Uncle Michael references. Please, Uncle Michael, don't hurt me. And it's Jamie. She's giving birth in this fucking cult of horrors. Meanwhile, we get to hear Paul Rudd do a voiceover that makes no sense whatsoever. This movie has just got like a real identity issue of what it was trying to do. Like, they were hamming up the cult thing, but like at the end of the day, it's just a fucking Michael Myers movie. Just fucking ditch everything else.
I just, it's the whole reinventing the wheel thing. Like, you knew you're going to make some money off of it. What are you doing?
Yeah, just go with it. I mean, I guess that's one thing that the new one did, I guess, a little bit better, but like they didn't, I don't know. But then they were like,
try to introduce like a new part of it.
Oh, wait, they did do that. So never mind. Because I'm not going to get into it on the show. What?
Well, which part are you referring to?
His Michael's new doctor.
Oh. Yeah, that's the worst part.
So again, right. they do it in that one also, which is just add another element of like just another storyline you don't fucking need.
You don't. If you're trying to add shock value, like Michael Myers' presence is fucking shocking.
That's it. That's what
the dude hasn't been killed in 40 fucking years. Like, that's shocking.
I also think it's weird. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I don't know why particularly. But it's weird that in these movies where these guys are supposed to be the bad guys, they always make worse people that you're excited to see die. Isn't that weird? Like, there's like a couple characters in this that you're like, I can't wait for them to die. Like, Michael Myers is the good guy for a portion of this film.
Oh, in part six, the dad.
Yeah.
Like, that's the villain of this movie.
Oh, he's a fucking terrible human being. And Michael does us all a favor. But meanwhile, this girl gives birth, but Michael shows up. We don't know why. And just starts killing people. We don't know why. One of the nurses helps Jamie up and gives her her baby, and she escapes. And we don't know why to any of this. And Michael doesn't look like Michael. Michael is looking a little weird from the jump. Like, just like, oh, God. Like, that was one thing with these movies. Like, I watched them when I was much younger. So rewatching them recently, I've just been like, what? Why does he look so different? Why is this so fucking hard? This is not that difficult. Even Jason, they were able to at least, you know what I mean? I didn't think there was a Jason where I was like, oh, this Jason looks shitty. Like, I might not have liked the actor portraying him and his body movement, but physically you're not like, why does this guy look so weird?
Right.
But yeah. So, this is also the guy that played him in four, George Wilbur. But yeah, so Jamie escapes. We then meet this grown-ass woman, Kara, who's got a kid. Loomis is around somehow. That was shocking for me. Loomis has now blown up and had a stroke. Loomis had a stroke at the end of five, I think. Yeah, Loomis had a stroke at the end of five. So he's blown up and he had a stroke and he's just fucking, he just like shows up in this movie and is just like, what's up?
And again, no disrespect, first of all, I love the fact that he's the one that returned in all of them. Like, he's agreed to come back.
You know what, after this one, I agreed also. During four and five, I was like, come on, this fucking guy. And now it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome in six, and I was like, I'm so glad he's back.
I was very glad. And I know that he was sick, so I don't even mean this disrespectful, but he does not look well there.
He doesn't. I knew he died shortly after, but I didn't really even put together that he probably wasn't feeling all that hot leading into this movie. Cause I was just like, man, he's such a good actor. Like, I thought he was playing like old dying guy really well. And I didn't really put it together that I had forgotten. Well, no, I didn't forget because it's in my notes that he fucking died, but I don't know. So Jamie, who's loose, we're just introduced to those characters, just the kind of just thrown at us. And Kara, her kid, is drawing thorn symbols in his room. And she's just like, what's this? And later he'll draw a picture and write thorn on it. And she'll still be like, curious. But that's okay. The girl, Jamie, she's still on the loose.
Yes.
And then Michael kills her in a barn. Yes. Very Friday the 13th of him.
In a fucking corn thresher.
Yeah, that was nuts. That was actually, the kills in this are cool. Well,
that kill was cool.
I like that kill. I guess I like them all.
You know what I got a kick out of, though? It's such like a minimal part that like I'm sure nobody picks up on. But when he steals the truck, there's a guy standing outside to drink in the pouring fucking rain. He's wearing like a rain jacket that doesn't even have a hood. And he could easily just be doing it in his truck. I don't know what he's doing outside.
Doesn't want to spill on the interior. Doesn't want to make a mess.
Is pouring. He has nothing over his fucking. It just defeats the entire purpose.
I mean, attention to detail like that is somewhat important. And you feel like any one of the actors would be like, hey, maybe I should put my hood up. Or sit in the car or do anything. But no. Jamie's screaming, "You can't have the baby, Michael. You can't have the baby." It's fine by him because he just like shoves her down that corn thing. She's fucking dead. And Michael goes into that car. What? So does Michael take the car?
Yeah.
I thought he like pulled out a bunch of towels. I thought it was like the baby or I thought he thought it was a baby.
No, he did, but the baby wasn't in there.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, I knew the baby wasn't in there.
That's who he was after.
Yeah. I knew the baby wasn't in there because Paul Rudd will find that baby in a fucking cabinet. In a cabinet in a public rest area. Which, that scene infuriated me to no end. I mean, anything with Paul Rudd up until the very end when he starts acting like a normal human being was just insane. I think it was supposed to be a red herring, him acting super creepy and shit. Sure. But he's so over the top that it just seems insane.
Now, it's worth noting he's playing Tommy Doyle, the little boy who Laurie Strode babysat in the first one.
Right. Which is I'm kind of cool with that idea. I kind of
I like it. I'm fine with it.
I like it also.
I don't like that he stayed like directly next door and has like the Pepe Silvia setup in his bedroom.
Dude, a total Pepe Silvia setup. All news clippings of the Michael murders, a camera setup pointed at the Myers house. And it's so insane. The family living, and is it the Myers house or the Strode house? It's Myers
house. It's the Strode house.
Okay, well, they say Myers house in this, for sure, at one point. But you're right. It is the Strode house. I'm fine with that. But somebody's like, that's the old Myers place. I'm assuming they meant to say that's where the Myers killings were, but, or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know. And it doesn't fucking matter because... How does no one know that the murders took place
there? I mean, no one in the town knows except for Tommy, who's been obsessively looking at it, but nothing's happened in the last 20 years. So I don't know what he's doing.
Fucking annoying. That's honestly the one thing that really pisses me off. So Haddonfield has reinstated Halloween, I guess. I don't think it was ever gone. I think whatever that thing was that they said earlier was a lie. And we meet Kara and her family, who is Deb and John Strode.
Yes.
And I guess that's the Strode.
They're cousins. I mean, they're definitely related. I forget how. I think they're cousins.
I mean, because she says, because later Deborah Strode says to John, your brother couldn't sell it, and that's why he gave it to us. So I think it's like...
Lori's dad.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's Lori's uncle.
Right. I was mean the brother that she was referring to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So I think it's Lori's uncle, this guy. And Kara's got a son named Danny. Who, when John Strode is a piece of shit from the jump. John Strode is literally the most abusive human being on earth. Because we learn that Kara's a single mom, staying with her parents and raising this kid, Danny, and going to college. And she's like going to graduate. And
yeah, trying to make a better life for herself.
And she's doing a great job. Doing a great job.
And the dad, the entire time that you meet him, is just like, why the fuck did you come back here? And it's like... completely unnecessary.
It's so insane. He's like, everything bad happened ever since we met you. It's so fucking crazy. And then he proceeds to fucking hit her. He might hit the mom too. Yeah. And young Danny pulls a knife on him, which is alarming, but not as alarming as when they find Danny's picture of him stabbing his entire family to death. Which, you know, they don't really go into. I mean, they kind of do. Thorne is weird. Right. Thorne, the cult of Thorne is a very odd thing. Would you agree?
I would 100% agree.
So the cult of Thorne, I guess, I mean.
It's an ancient druid curse.
Right. And, but it's also. So Michael is cursed.
Right.
And when you're cursed, it means you kill your whole family. And that's what gives you...
You have to sacrifice your next of kin on Halloween.
Right. So that's what... that's what he's doing. That's what he's been doing. This is all so funny. I'm sorry. You know what? I honestly might hate the remake for getting rid of all of this. Because it's so elaborate and somebody worked so hard to put this stupid shit together. So... So Michael has to kill all of his next of kin every Halloween, and so that's what he's doing. And he also gives him superpowers, and
right.
And like
that's why he's immortal. That's why nobody has killed him.
Right, because he's got the cult of the thorn behind him.
Actually, I think I kind of like this.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a really it's one of those situations. It's a little too elaborate to like explain, but I kind of enjoy it. It's like it's like the InfoWars of horror movies. The Cult of Thorn is like this elaborate backstory that you're like, you could poke a million holes in it, but at the same time, it's airtight. You could be like, why? It's like, Cult of Thorn, man. Like, I don't know what to tell
you. That's true. Honestly, just throwing that phrase in there, just it explains it. Like,
he's fucking cursed, man.
That's why he's doing it.
He's fucking cursed. It makes way more sense than, like, Jason Voorhees.
It absolutely does. All right, I mean, you could nitpick and be like, why is the Cult of Thorn infecting Michael? Like, why did nobody know about this when he was younger?
Well, this is true. But, you know, it's just whatever.
I feel like I would know if my offspring had the curse of Thorn.
But do you? And then they, so I guess the whole plan too is the cult is trying to get more Thorn members.
They got to stay in business.
They know Michael honestly sucks at his job.
He does. He's terrible.
He's fucking terrible.
He cannot get the job done.
He really can't. He fucking sucks so bad. So Michael is really looking for his... This is really a statement on, employment in America, I think. I think this is a modern day John Henry.
The railroad guy?
Yeah. It's a statement on the labor force. Michael is upset that they're trying to replace him. And that's what all the beef is about, I think.
Wait. You're trying to tell me for the past 20 years he's just mad about the union?
No. Now he's mad. He wasn't.
Just for this movie.
He was trying to do his job. But this one
he's pissed.
This one, he sees, you know, the guy in the black mask running around trying to recruit kids to curse him. And he's like, hey, man, like, that's my fucking gig.
Okay, all right, I'm fine with it.
All right, cool.
He's like the Jimmy Hoffa of the...
Yes. He's just like cult. Really fucking upset about everything. Well, all this is going on. Paul Rudd is introduced. He's a Michael Myers super fan. Wait, actually, what is his purpose? He, besides being a mangle expert, is that why he's here?
It is. I mean, he's out of all the mangle experts that we've ever done, he's probably the most like realistic because he was there that night. Okay. He's probably severely traumatized, and he does know like the ins and outs of what happened. So I'm fine with him being this mangle.
All right, I'll give that to you. That's fine. You're right. It's not just some guy that has a book on laundry machines.
Correct.
So Paul Rudd, he decides to start retracing the steps of he's hearing that people have been murdered, and he thinks Michael's back, and he actually makes sense because he's somehow calculated these constellations, and these constellations determine when Michael rises. So some years he doesn't show up and some years he does based on the constellation that looks like the thorn, the rune of Thorn. I fucking love this movie now. I'm actually taking everything back.
I'm fine with this take because
This is so fucking awesome.
Like you were saying in the beginning too, it goes by fast. I watched way worse movies this Halloween season than this.
It's so stupid and I love it. And so Paul Rudd has determined that Michael will be coming back this year because of the constellations. And so he starts retracing the steps of Jamie. I don't know how he figures this out. He does it based on a bus that she was taking. And he somehow has recordings of their phone calls and shit. Because she called 911 from the bus stop.
Right.
Okay. I don't know how he got access to that, though. So Paul Rudd...
And didn't she broadcast on a radio station in the beginning?
Is that what...
I think... I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Okay. Cool. Sure. So he retraces her steps, and it's so funny. I was laughing so loudly because there's just like, this is the next day or maybe a couple days after. I'm not even sure. At least a day though. And there is blood everywhere in this busy bus station. Like no one has cleaned it. Like he steps in the phone booth and he's like, oh, a clue. And it's a giant puddle of blood. It's not like Jamie's scarf or anything like that.
Yeah, like fingerprints, like a normal clue.
Yeah, it's a giant puddle of blood, and he's like, oh,
yeah, it's a fucking hazmat
suit. Look at this. And he follows the blood to the bathroom, which is covered in blood also. And he's like, what could have happened here? And then a baby just starts crying in a cabinet. It's all so alarming. Oh, man. So he gets the baby and he brings it to the hospital, which is also super weird because he's like, somebody needs to look at this baby. And he will leave the hospital with the baby. I don't understand it. But he also meets Loomis during this process.
Yeah, he does. And he informs. So Loomis knows everything about Myers. He's been back in Haddonfield for every movie, literally every movie since then.
Yeah.
And Tommy's like, hey, the Strodes are still living across the street. And Loomis is like, mind's melting. Holy shit, it's happening again. It's like, Loomis, they've been here this entire fucking time.
And it happens every Halloween, Loomis.
He's been back there every year. He should know the whole ins and... First of all, he shouldn't even be allowed in the town. No. Second, he should know like the every back road, every resident by a first name basis. And like he should still be in contact with like Tommy. Like, it makes no sense.
Also, why does he even live anywhere else? He might as well take up permanent residency here.
That is also at least the next town over.
Like, because it is so fun. Because honestly, I just assumed he was living there at this point. And at the end, he makes a reference to leaving town. Like, he's like, oh, yes, I'll be on my way soon. Like, yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, he does that every time. He's like, I'll be right there. Like, just fucking live there. Honestly, just buy the fucking Strode house.
Oh, my God. And why isn't that house torn down?
That's also a good question.
Well, oh, God, because then Michael doesn't have anywhere to put his curse. So Loomis then stops by the Strodes, and it's revealed that the dad moved there because his brother couldn't sell the house. And the mom is like, I can't believe you wouldn't tell us this. Like, how did, like, everyone in town is, like, it's fucking insane. And it's not that far from removed.
No. This movie takes its place in, like, the actual year that it was filmed, so 95.
Yeah.
So what is that? Fucking 25 years?
Yes.
And it's 27 years.
It's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. But lots of creepy shit happening with the mom. Loomis leaves. Lots of creepy shit happening with the mom. And,
like, could you imagine moving into the Tate farm or whatever it was called and be like, holy shit, Charles Manson once lived here? Like, you would know.
Of course. And not only that, but after a few years, like, at least within the first year, somebody's going to be like, I can't believe you bought that fucking house. Or you'd see it in the news or a news, anything. Or some asshole kid, like, pranking you on Halloween. Like, something's going to happen where you're going to be like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. Loomis leaves. Lots of creepy shit starts happening. We start seeing members of the Thorn hanging around.
Yes.
But also at the same time, we're seeing Michael shows up.
Yeah.
And Michael kills Mom.
He does. So he, in her house.
Is he related to Lori? Yes.
Who, Michael?
Oh, wait. No. Oh, fuck. I'm all fucked up. Okay. The Jamie things fucked me up. So Jamie's related to her too.
Yeah.
So is Kara related to anyone? Oh.
Yeah.
She's the Strode kid. She's a new Strode kid.
Kara's a cousin.
Okay.
They're related.
And are we supposed to believe that Michael has eliminated every fucking member of the Strode bloodline?
No, because Lori's still alive.
Well, oh, right. But in this movie, okay, whatever. I don't know. This movie's weird, though, because they're acting the only one Michael has to kill left is the baby. And then it's like, no, there's a whole clan of Strode.
Strode. Yeah, no. So,
because that's what sets Strode off.
Jamie Strode is Lori's daughter. So she's Michael's niece.
Oh, right. Okay.
So then she gave birth. So that's why he need, like, it's direct, like, but these are cousins. So they're still related.
Right. Because when it's revealed, Paul Rudd is like, Loomis, there's Strode's living there. And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's so fucking, like, the most minimal amount of research would tell you that there's, like, relatives.
Right. That was what I was trying to get at before. He should know this. It's literally, at this point in time, that's Loomis's only job.
Oh, my God. So, Kara ends up coming. So, Mom's dead.
Right.
And then Kara comes home and finds Tommy, who is Paul Rudd, hanging out with Danny, the little boy. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing hanging out with a grown man? And Tommy's like,
which is a reasonable question.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tommy's like, do you know whose room this used to be? So we get that reveal. And Paul Rudd is a Mangle expert and starts just breaking down astrology symbols and runes and the curse of the Thorn. And he's got a lot of theories. And yeah.
Now I will say I was kind of giving him credit for being a Mangle, like a realistic Mangle expert.
Yeah.
But him knowing about Thorn is fucking ridiculous.
It's fucking insane. And not only knowing about Thorn, but literally knowing every practice. He says, and knowing the constellation, Joe, he pulls up.
Dude, honestly, that's what every conspiracy theorist on Twitter is. So, yes. You know, it is. I believe it now.
No, because I mean, that was what I was saying before. This is like the InfoWars of Michael Myers. Like, this is just like fucking a guy sitting in his room being like, hey, guess what? And you can't argue with him. You can't argue with him because he'll be like, prove it. And you're like, well.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So anyway, and also Paul Rudd is acting like goth Stan Marsh. Like, he's just brooding constantly. He's just constantly moody and just whatever, flicking his hair back. John Strode, the old drunk bastard, shows up. Drunk as his damn skunk. And for some reason, Michael has put Deborah in the washing machine. And I'm not entirely sure why. But, you know, he's got a flair for the dramatic. And John finds the bloody sheets. And then John gets stabbed in the back and pushed into the electrical panel.
Yes.
Which also has been turned off by Michael, so it probably shouldn't. Oh, wait. Fuck, this kill is fucking crazy. Not only does he push him into the electrical panel and get electrocuted, even though the panel's off, John Strode explodes.
He does.
Like, head, body, every part of him explodes as if a bomb were put inside of him. And I'm guessing this is from electricity. I don't really know, but it's fucking insane. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, I have no clue what could possibly cause it.
I don't know. I liked it though. I liked that they did it. So now this is where the movie, I think they reshot some of this because I had no idea what was happening and there was no clues about this. But there's a radio host in Haddonfield doing a show with these two characters that we met for a split second in the beginning of the movie. Beth and her boyfriend, I forget his name, like Jim or something like that. And it's insane. And the host is honestly a piece of shit. The host,
dude, the way that he speaks is so fucking, the things that he says to this fucking woman,
I would fucking kill him.
It is ridiculous.
A fan should have gotten up and fucking shot or stabbed this fucking asshole because
I completely agree. It's fucking insane.
It's fucking insane. He's talking a mile a minute. I think he's supposed to kind of be the Howard Stern, I guess, of Haddonfield. Pretty bad job though. And he's talking
I wish I wrote down what he said, because there's one thing that he says about the girl getting fucked.
Oh, it's when he says, "Oh yeah, I bet you wear crotchless panties and bark like a dog."
Yeah, that's it. That's
Are you fucking kidding me? Bark like a dog? That is one of the most and the crotchless panties.
Also, how old is this girl?
Dude, this girl. Well, so Kara, it's Kara's friend, and Kara's in college, so I assume she's college age. So barely okay to be discussing this with, but to even the way he's saying it and she's a stranger are not okay. I should make that clear.
No, and the boyfriend just takes that.
Dude, the fact that isn't a scene where the boyfriend's like, "Hey pal, get the fuck out of here," is insane. Like, the boyfriend's like, "Oh geez, you gonna let him talk to you like that?" And
well, thankfully he dies soon.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the other weird thing. The DJ is upset for some reason, and he's like, "Meet me at your house, the old Myers place," which is news to the kid. The kid's like, "Wait, what?" And also the DJ has no idea that there is a Myers place. Like, he's like, "That place is in fucking Haddonfield." Then he gets into his van, and for some reason, Michael is in the van.
Yes.
And kills him. What the fuck was he doing in there? It was insane.
He must have been there forever, too.
But he couldn't have been, because he was just killing dad. It's insane. I mean, I don't know. So, it's whatever.
Also, why is he doing that?
I don't know, but Loomis shows up. Which Loomis is so good at just showing up.
Yes, it's truly his MO.
Since the dawn of time, Loomis has just shown up and been like, "Oh my God, not again." Like, of course, again, Loomis.
And he's always posing like a question. He's like, "Whose gravestone is this?" You know whose fucking gravestone it is.
You came here for a reason, Loomis.
That's exactly what you came here for.
Oh fuck. And even better is at that party, there's a little girl who's like, "Oh, it's raining. It's raining. It's raining red water and it's warm." And she turns around and she is covered in blood. That girl's like 13. To think that even my 5-year-old would be like, "I'm pretty sure this is blood."
Like, raining warm red water.
And that's the dead DJ that's raining on her. I mean, that's horrifying, but
sure. But you should know.
Yeah, you don't need to like spell it out for us. That's so fucking ridiculous.
What's a less believable getting rained on scene? This or in Bushwhacked when they're peeing off the mountain on the bald guy?
And opening their mouths and catching it in their mouth. And spitting it out like angel fountains.
and not knowing until they look up.
Not knowing it's fucking urine. Daniel Stern's disgusting urine. Also, imagine looking up and seeing Daniel Stern's dick. It definitely looks just like
it. It looks like it. The pubes definitely look like his hair.
I'm gonna fucking throw up. Also, I think I'm gonna watch Bushwhacked after this. Dude, that's so crazy that that was like the humor that we watched as little kids.
Dude, I haven't seen Bushwhacked since I was like 8, and I thought that was the funniest movie I ever seen.
Dude, I did too. I did too. But there is a scene where a grown man is teaching kids about sex using Barbie dolls.
And he's screaming ahuga while he's smashing the kid.
That's so inappropriate. That's so insane.
I can't believe we remember so much about Bushwhacked.
Dude, that is a formative movie of my childhood. I fucking loved it. You know what? Bushwhacked might have to be our first movie in January.
Wait, Bushwhacked, I think, came out the same year as this.
Did it?
I'm going to look it up. Hold on. Bushwhacked.
I hope so.
Dude, screaming auga with Barbie dolls.
To teach children.
He should have been arrested immediately. Yeah, it came out in 95.
Well, to be fair, I think he was a criminal, right? And then somehow became a Boy Scout master.
Yeah, that was like the theme, like that and the Mighty Ducks.
Dude, it's just like, oh man, hanging out with kids really reforms criminals. Oh my god, that's so fucking funny. Anyway, guys, so let's get back to not Bushwhacked. I really just want to talk about
I kind of just want to watch Bushwhacked. As we just ended our episode to go watch Bushwhacked. Just left the listeners right here.
I kind of want to, but I do want to wrap up this movie. But that would be an amazing ending, and that's fucking high art right there. That would be high art. I already said Loomis shows up. Michael kills Beth and the Strode brother while Kara watches from Paul Rudd's house.
Yes.
He watches Michael kill them. Also, she's like, oh, Danny, we got to get out of here. Turns around and Danny is walking into the other house for some reason. Kara runs over to try and get him, finds everyone's dead. And for some reason, she's shocked, even though she just witnessed this. And then Michael shows up.
Yep.
Danny runs. Loomis and Tommy show up as usual. And we learn they lost the baby. And we learn that because the baby's lost, and Paul Rudd's like, no one would know the baby was here. Like, are you fucking kidding me, Paul? Dude, like, everyone in town knows what you're doing. You're a fucking little creep. Of course they're going to check your house. But Loomis is like, oh, the only person I told is Dr. Wynn. And we meet Dr. Wynn, who's actually been in part one and part five.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in part one, he's just like walking down a hallway. And bigger role in part five. But that's who it is. And also the old woman who lives in that house is part of the cult too, I guess. Because she pulled.
Yeah, Mrs. Blankenship.
She pulls a knife on Kara. And then Kara jumps out of a fucking window. And in a little homage to part one, by the way, did you notice how bad some of these edits were? Like, they just faded in and out.
Absolutely.
Oh my god, it was fucking brutal. So Kara is like, so everyone's cornered. They have Loomis and Paul Rudd's character, Tommy. They got the kids, they got the baby, and Kara jumps out of a fucking window through glass, top level, falls in the grass. She should be dead. It fades out and it just fades back into the same spot. But now Loomis and Tommy are outside and are like, oh boy, where'd Kara go? And Kara's just gone. So a little homage. And it turns out they just drugged Tommy and Loomis. To which Tommy's like, why the fuck would they do that? Why didn't they just kill us? Which is a great question.
Fantastic question.
And Loomis is like, he loves playing games. Like, Loomis, you just figured out this guy.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Loomis is an asshole.
But not as big as an asshole as Dr. Wynn, because he lures them to the max security prison which is just open to the public, I guess. Because these guys just walk in and everybody's fine. Michael's been there, though. You see the effects of the results of Michael, a couple stabbed inmates in there. Now, this is a sanitarium. This is the sanitarium where Michael escaped from in part one.
Yep.
Whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. It doesn't matter. The weird part, though, is why is there a hospital, like a surgical hospital inside of it?
I don't know what goes on in Haddonfield.
I mean, I honestly think that they might have forgotten that it was. I think they just blended one and two and they were like, well, maybe the sanitarium is the hospital. Like, because it's very.
To be honest, I never thought twice about that. So I'm sure that's exactly what they did.
It's a max security prison and it's also doubles as a hospital, yeah. As we'll see soon. Yes, yes. So Rudd finds Kara. She's locked in a room. He escapes with her. A bunch of close calls with Michael. And they stumble upon the doctors who are performing a procedure on somebody. And we see the baby and Danny in the room. I don't know what the plan was here. And I don't know what the surgery they're performing is. But Michael pulls out the biggest knife ever that is supposed to be a piece of medical equipment. And it is most definitely just a murdering knife. It's about 14 inches long. It's fucking insane. And he kills all the doctors.
All of them. Oh, he butchers them.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. They get the kids and the babies. They run. They escape somehow. He somehow pushes a doctor through bars. Did you see that? Did you catch it? That was fucking weird.
I'm going to have to relook at it because I did not. Pick up on it.
He's running. They're all running. One doctor escapes. Only one doctor escapes. And everybody's running for their lives. Michael's chasing them. And they slam a cell door behind them. And this doctor gets caught with Michael. And Michael starts pushing his face up against the bars. And you're like, okay, that's pretty brutal. But then the door breaks off the hinges, a fucking jail door, a jail cell door, breaks off the hinges and falls, and Michael just walks over it. But the guy's body is underneath the door. So I think we're led to believe that Michael pushed him through the bars of the door. Or I'm overthinking it, and they were just like, yeah, we don't need the body there anymore.
That's probably what happened.
Well, Michael finally catches up to him. And they plan a little trick here where they're going to pretend to give the baby to Michael, which Michael is like, okay, like, I'll take the baby. And turns out it's not. It's just like 18 syringes that Paul Rudd stabs into his neck. And
all full of the tranquilizer.
But is that what it is? It does nothing to him.
I'm pretty
sure that's what it is. It's also neon green. I thought it was something to like take away the curse.
No, I'm pretty sure it's tranquilizers.
I think it's something to take away the curse because
I'm looking it up right now.
This is the lab. This is their lab. This is Thorne's lab. Because there's like ancient hieroglyphics written on the walls and shit. Like there's rune symbols on the walls.
It says right here. Michael breaks into the room. Tommy injects him with large quantities of tranquilizers.
No, I think it's curse juice.
I'm telling you, that's what it says right here.
All right, well, I got to talk to somebody.
Curse juice?
I need another mangle expert. Well, Kara grabs a pipe, starts beating the shit out of him. Michael's about to kill her. Which he needs to do. He needs to get rid of this woman. And instead, he stops killing her because the little kid's like, hey, leave her alone. And he's like, why? You interrupt my killings, boy. And he walks over there and Paul Rudd beats the shit out of him with this pipe. Unmercifully. Just fucking destroys him.
Right. But that shouldn't work.
Well, that's why I thought it was cursed juice.
First of all, there's no such thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just talk to these guys. Let me talk to fucking Eastbound and Down, and I bet you I could get them to put cursed juice in the next one.
I bet you could, too.
And people will be like, what a great homage.
I fucking hate Kenny Powers. I think we've talked about this before, but in the new one, there's a line where the dad in front of his family says he got peanut butter on his penis. Yeah. And I almost left. I almost just walked out of the movie.
We should have a chit chat about that. I know you did a review for Patreon, but if you have a few minutes afterwards, let's talk about that movie after and put it up on Patreon.
Yeah.
So, if you want to hear that, head on over to Patreon after this. I'll put it up. Loomis. Okay. So Paul Rudd beats the shit out of him. And Loomis shows up with his shitty pistol again. And he doesn't have anything to shoot. So he just shoots like the elevator buttons. And I wasn't really sure of the reason. But he does. And then he escapes with Kara and the children. Paul Rudd fucks him out some more. It fades out. And then it just fades into them in a car. And then being like, hey, Loomis, come with us. And he's like, no, I've got a little business to attend to.
Which he doesn't.
And also, you would be, whatever he is, he's a doctor. He would be banned for life from doing any type of work in the field.
That's very true.
But it ends with we see Michael's mask and a needle outside and then a pumpkin blows out.
And Loomis is screaming.
So I don't know, man. Who knows? Who's to say what happened? Is there one after six or no?
Yeah, H2O.
Oh, H2O, right. Yeah. So nothing. But yeah, so there's no more continuation of the thorn or anything like that.
No.
Well, what a shame. And then in memory of Donald Pleasance at the very, very end. So what a shame. Right. Thorn, bring Thorn back. I'm on the bring Thorn back bandwagon.
I think I am, too, to be honest with you.
I mean, why not? I like it. I fucking like it. You know what? I think they maybe didn't need three movies to get there or four movies to get there with the entire Thorn process. But, you know. Like Michael battling Thorn
for you want him fighting Thorn
for living union wages, yeah.
Okay, the Michael fighting the Teamsters.
Yeah, dude, the fucking Thorn Teamsters, they're all in black. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. All right, so that's this episode. We got to pick out next week. What do you say about oh, you know what we got to do? Silent Rage.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Did we not do that?
No, we've never done it.
What?
I know.
That can't be true.
It is. It fucking is.
What did we talk about last year?
No, we didn't. Wait, is Silent Rage Thanksgiving?
Wait, no, that's Blood Rage.
Blood Rage. Oh, fuck. Somebody recommended Silent Rage, which is that
fucking... Did we do Blood Rage?
Can we?
No, did we?
No.
Yo, we did a fucking movie, man. Hold Wait, on.
Did we do Blood Rage?
Hold on. I'm going through our shit now. Do you know how many times this happens to me, like a week? Someone will be like, hey, are you going to do this?
And I'm oh,
like,
yeah.
I think we did.
Yeah, no, I agree. We did not do Blood Rage.
We did.
You watched it last year, though. You watched it last year for sure.
I still don't believe you.
All right. Well, let's do.
What was last year? 2017?
Okay. So here's what I think we should do for November, even though this one's a November episode. So ruining my plan. But all right. So we got we got Silent Rage, which is a Chuck Norris movie.
Oh, the serial killer one?
Yes.
Let's do that.
I watched it last year. Okay, let's do Silent Rage. Okay. All right, so Silent Rage next week. Kick off our Thanksgiving-themed episode with a not-Thanksgiving movie. You know what? We'll do American Heroes for Thanksgiving. starting with Silent Rage.
I like it.
Followed by, I don't know, we'll figure something out.
Followed by the dog movie with Chuck Norris?
Sure.
What was that one called?
I don't know. Oh, it was, fuck, wait, dude. Top Cop? Fuck.
Invasion USA? No, it's Top Dog.
Top Dog. The easiest name ever. And we had the one hard word. The one word that wasn't dog we had. All right, so we're doing Silent Rage next week. So tune in for that. Facebook.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. Check out our buddy, the Tormented Teamster's new track. If you go to IHateHorror.com, I have links to all of his stuff from there. So check that out. Fucking cool video. And he's got us plastered all over it. So thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate it. And I'm on Instagram at IHateHorror.
Oh, I'm at Boognish1985.
Yep. And that's it for this episode. So for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
That's it, guys.